Have you ever said, I should not have gotten out of bed today? I had that kind of a day a couple weeks ago. First place, I was kind of wiped out because I had to stay up late, preparation done for some of the many worship services. I was wiped out, pretty wasted. Breakfast time, I went down to make myself some oatmeal. The box was empty. Then the milk container was almost empty. The brown sugar container lid was not on tightly, and sugar went everywhere. This is not going to be a good day. Then I got in the car and noticed that the gas tank was near empty. I get to the gas station, and guess what? There's a long line of cars. I'm saying this is not my day. It was only 8:15. Why did I get out of bed? If you've ever gone through a day when you said, I should not have got out of bed, you picked a good service to come to today, because we're going to look at what to do when things go wrong. What to do when God changes your plans. It's the story of Christmas. It teaches all of us. This Christmas story is the story of everybody's plans getting changed. Nobody's life turned out the way they originally thought it was going to happen. So please take out your sermon notes for today. Quickly, we look at Mary and Joseph. They certainly had their plans changed. They were a young couple engaged to be married. And in your notes, they are a young couple planning a marriage. All they wanted to do was get married, settle down, and have a home. In the middle of their preparation, an angel comes along and says, by the way, God has a new plan for you. And Mary, there are three parts of this plan. Don't get upset. Number one, you're going to get pregnant before the wedding. And it's not going to be Joseph. Okay? Number two, don't get upset, but this will be a miracle. It's never been done before, never going to happen again. We're going to call it a virgin birth. Okay? Number three, the child you'll be carrying, he'll be called God. Really? God messes up the plans of Mary and Joseph. God messed up the plans also of King Herod. Herod, in your notes, he wanted to be king, king of Judea. He had been appointed by the Roman Empire. He was to be the king over Israel, and he wasn't even Jewish. This guy was a control freak. Herod was paranoid about being overthrown because he wasn't Jewish. He literally, in order to protect his kingdom, killed everybody around him. He had his wife killed. He had his mother killed. He had his brother-in-law killed. He had his two sons killed. And when he heard that the king of the Jews had been born in Bethlehem, he went berserk. He declared an order that every baby under 2 years of age in Bethlehem should be killed in order to make sure that his kingdom would not be overthrown. But God messed up his plans too. The religious leaders of that day, they had their plans messed up by Christmas. They had been praying for a Messiah, which means the anointed one. They had been praying for a Savior. But in your notes, they wanted a political Messiah. They wanted somebody like King David to come in and overthrow the Roman Empire. They weren't looking for a spiritual Savior. All of a sudden, Jesus shows up. He's saying things that, like, love your enemy, do good to those who despise you, pray for those who persecute you, return good for evil, love your neighbor as yourself. And they're going, what? This is not a Messiah that we had planned on. God changed their plans. The innkeeper at that first Christmas certainly didn't plan for the extra crowd. And you notice he ran out of space. That's why he put Mary and Joseph and the baby in a stable. Because there was no room at the inn. He didn't have any room. He hadn't planned. And God messed up his plans. And of course, the shepherds, their plans got messed up by Christmas also. They wanted, in your notes, to watch sheep. They were looking forward to another quiet night with the sheep. Then all of a sudden, the sky lights up. And the announcement is made, you guys had better get over to Bethlehem. Because the Savior of the world has been born. Their plans were changed. Has God ever changed your plans? How many of you in 2016 had some plans change, you think? Probably universal for most of us. God changes plans. Let me clearly say, though, everything that happens to you is not, in life is not God's will. Not at all. A lot of the problems we have in life, we bring on ourselves. We make dumb decisions. Sometimes other people cause problems in our life as well, because we live on a broken planet. Nobody's perfect. We have all sinned. We all make mistakes. So that means we hurt each other. You hurt people, sometimes intentionally. Sometimes you hurt them unintentionally. Sometimes people hurt you, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. So a lot of things that happen in the world are not God's will. Rape is not God's will. Cancer, Alzheimer's, all kinds of evil things that we find on this planet. Prejudice against races. They're not God's will. It happens because God gave you a free will. And you frequently choose to not to go God's way. Everybody does. So we don't blame God for all the problems in the world. It's because of our will, not God's will. But sometimes God intervenes. He says, I'm going to do something special in your life. So in order to do that, I'm going to have to change your plans. You have got all these great plans for 2017. God's going to change some of them because he wants to do something special in your life. So what do you do when God changes your plans? That's one of the lessons of Christmas. Today we're going to look at three truths to remember when God does change your plans. You need to remember three things from the Christmas story. Number one in your notes, when God changes your plans, he's just trying to get your attention. Look at Psalm 81, verse 13. If my people would but listen to me. So when it comes to listening, we all have spiritual ADD, attention deficit disorder. Why does God want you to listen to him? To save you from a lot of problems. In your notes, God whispers to us in our pleasures. But in your notes, God shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone. Pain is God saying to you, is anybody home? Is anybody listening? Are you paying attention? Or are you too busy to talk to the one who made you? See, God's plan for Mary and Joseph, they were so incredible. They were so awesome, so unbelievable, so out of the ordinary. He had to do something extraordinary to convince them that it was really going to happen. So God sent an angel. The angel comes and says, this is what's going to happen. Because of what's going to happen in their life has never happened before, ever. Because we're not good listeners ourselves. When it comes to listening to God, in fact, most of us are pretty poor listeners. Instead of listening to God, we're always talking all the time ourselves. Or when we're not talking, we're listening to what? The radio, listening to television, reading our Blackberries and smartphones, sending email or something. We're just so busy, God can't get through. So does God ever get call waiting when he calls you? Does he get a busy signal? The answer actually is yes. You're watching television. You don't ever sit down and just say, hey, God, is there anything you want to say to me? You don't do that, so God can't get through. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 25. It says, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. He's saying there are a lot of decisions you do make end up being dead ends. Have you had a dead end? Have you ever made a decision you thought it was the right decision? I'm going to do this, or I'm going to marry this person, or I'm going to make this relationship work. I'm going to do this big deal. I'm going to start this business. It turned out to be not the right thing. Why not? Because you weren't listening. You weren't listening to God. So often, we are making these decisions. We think we are right, but we end up in a disaster. And the reason why is we have limited perspective ourselves. We can't see. In your notes, God sees. In your notes, the big picture. God can see everything that's going to happen to you in your life in 2017, right now, because he's not limited by space and time. So God can really know everything that's going to go on in your life. As a loving parent and as a heavenly father, God is saying, I don't want you to have a broken heart. I don't want you to have a broken body. I don't want you to have a broken marriage. I don't want you to have broken relationships. I don't want you to have broken dreams. So I give you my perspective if you just listen to me. When God changes your plans, He's simply trying to get your attention. Number two in your notes. When God changes your plans, it means God has a better idea, a better plan. God is trying to get your attention, first of all, but secondly, His plan is better. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." As we go into 2017, you don't know what's going to happen. I don't know either. But God says, "I have plans for you. They are good plans, plans for hope and plans for a future." But He's not going to force His plans on you. He gives you the choice. You can keep on going with your little plans and get into all kinds of problems and difficulties, the stress and all the things that happen when you try to go your own way. But God says, "I got a better plan." So what do we know about God's planning? In your notes, number one, we know God's planning for your life is always bigger. God's plan for your life is always bigger than your plans. See, Mary and Joseph planned on getting married, having babies, settled down. God said, "No, I'm going to use you as a couple to bless the entire world." God's plan was a whole lot bigger for their life than they had ever imagined. And God's plan for your life is also bigger than you can imagine. If you go with your plan instead of God's plan for your life, you're going to have a limited life. You have no idea what God wants you to do with your life. But God says, "I've got a bigger plan." On the back of your notes, look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love Him." See, God's plan is far more rewarding than your plans. And number two in your notes, God's plan is at times harder. I won't kid you about that. At times it is harder. Sometimes when you're going with God's plan, it seems more confusing. Like, why is this happening to me? Sometimes it's more difficult. Sometimes it's even painful. There are some things that are going to happen in your life right now, and you're going to say, "Why, God, why?" And you're going to not understand. Look at John 13, verse 1, where Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." When your plans fall through, when God changes your plans, you simply need to remember, number one, He's trying to get your attention. Number two, He's got a better plan for you. But there is a third thing. Number three in your notes. When God changes your plans, He wants us to learn to trust Him. When your plans fall through, God is saying, "Trust me." Imagine how this whole Christmas thing tested Joseph's faith. Your fiance comes to you and says, "Honey, I'm pregnant." And you know it wasn't you. You're saying, "It's God," right? Imagine the test of faith at Joseph to be told that by his fiance. But also imagine Mary, how many times she was tested by this whole thing. God's plan for their lives was so different. All they could do was trust. There was nothing else to do. So look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." How do you please God? Not by religion, rituals, or certain rules, but simply by seeking God in faith. The Bible tells us that we come to Him in faith that pleases God. Just like a father is happy when his children trust him. Just like a mother is happy when her children trust her. God is happy when you trust Him. We know that God causes everything to work for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. We know that. We're not just guessing. The Bible says we know for certain. However, not everything that happens in your life is good. There are a lot of things that happen that are bad. You bring them on yourself, or other people bring them on you. But God, see, He causes everything to work for good, so you trust God. So in conclusion, there are three warning signs when you're not trusting God. You can tell when you're not following God's plan. In your notes, number one is fatigue. in your life when you are really fatigued, it's because you're not following your plan, but not God's plan. Number two is frustration. When you're frustrated, it's because you are following your plans, but not God's plan. And there are fears, number three. When you are fearful, you're worried, you're anxious, it's because you're following your plans again and not God's plan. These are just simply warning signs. That's why God sent Jesus. See, he sent Jesus to be our Savior, not just to save you from your sin. Yes, he did come to do that, but to save you from the effects of sin as well. What are the effects of sin? It's failure, fatigue, frustration, fear, doubt, depression, resentment, anger, loss, worry, guilt, shame, bitterness. So that's why God sent Jesus. It was at Christmas. And that's what the angels announced at that first Christmas. Look with me at Luke 2, verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So why do we celebrate Christmas? Because God sent you a Savior. A Savior has been born. When God messes up your plans, number one, he's simply trying to get your attention. When God changes your plans, number two, God has a better plan. And when God changes your plan, number three, he wants you to learn to trust him. Amen.